and make me miss out on what God is trying to show me. I'm too caught up to let sickness get me down, but I'm going to praise him while I go through it. I'm too caught up. So while you're getting caught up, he'll be able to catch you up. Say yes. Anybody here say, I'm caught up. I'm too caught up in God to come down to the lower levels. Say yes here and fight with the buzzards and fight with the chickens, but I'm going to fly high. He said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run. Anybody here running? I've been running for Jesus a long time, about 20 some odd years, and I'm not tired yet. They shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. Anybody here walking? He said, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith your call. I'm walking this thing because he's leading me every step of the way. Anybody here? I'm saying I'm waiting on him. I want God to move so that you'll be changed. I see the glory. If you allow him the chance to transform you, I've been transformed by the glory of God. His glory changes me. I'm not going to stay the same. My mindset is different because he changed me. My thought pattern is different because of what he's revealed to me. He reveals himself to us in different ways. He reveals himself. Thank God for the confrontation. At some point as a sinner, God will confront you. Thank God not only for the confrontation, but for the correction. You see, because some people have a confrontation and you don't even know what it's about. You say, now what was that about? What's wrong with them? God tells you what's wrong. He corrects you. Then he converts you. He converts you. And when you're truly converted, you know, you talk about the Lord. And this process that we go through, process of sanctification.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
You are listening to the very best of community radio, presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, Louisiana.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed in reverence to God. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you once again for the privilege to study your word. We thank you for every person who's made the sacrifice to be here tonight. God, meet them where they are. Lift them to the place you'd have them to be. And oh God, we thank you for this word that you will unfold by your spirit. Give us insight, revelation, understanding. and the more especially give us power to practice these principles so we might receive the profit, but more than all the profit we receive, give you the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise for just being God. You may be seated in his presence. We are dealing with one of the areas that the enemy loves to attack, loves to live in, loves to mess with, loves to deal with, and that is the mind. The mind. It's so important to understand the issues of the mind, because that's the playground of the enemy and ideology and the platform for all of the things that you will do, both in the spirit realm and in the natural realm. And so it's important to watch again and protect the whole platform of your thinking processes. That's one of the reasons why Romans 12 and verse 1 makes clear something very important before it goes into telling us about renewing our mind. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And the first word in verse 2 says, and, which is a conjunction, which is a continuation of verse 1. Now, what it's saying is in verse 1, when he says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, and that's important to recognize again, we've dealt with this particular verse before, the mercies of God covers every area of our lives, our situations, circumstances beyond what we deserve. So time and time again, God has forgiven us. God has looked over our faults. God has removed them from us, etc., etc. He's done that many times. How many times has he done it for the same sin? Okay, so I just want to make sure y'all were with me, y'all were listening. All right, because the mercies of God are for the multitude and of areas in our lives. It's not just salvation. Salvation is saving grace, but beyond once he saves you, he's got to keep you saved. And so now that's a sustaining grace, but it's also connected with his mercy. It's because he chooses not to get rid of us because of what we say and do that he keeps making a way for us. And so because the Bible says in Psalm 30 that in his favor is life. I mean, he favors life. If he had not, he could let the law do its job, not make a way for us to get past the law. And once you broke the law, you'd be dead. So God put favor and mercy and grace together to be able to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. Having said all of that, he says, by the mercies of God, look at what he says again. He said that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. Now, when it says conformed in this context, it's talking about having a final and complete end in itself. So that means when you're talking about being conformed to this world, it means you have bought into the world's ideologies. You've bought into the world's practices. You've bought into the world's operation. You've bought into the world's mindset, and it is fixed and final. And so when that happens in the first chapter of Romans, around that 21st verse, God says, I'll then turn you over to a reprobate mind. I'll leave you to your own destruction. If you won't hear my way, if you won't see it my way, if you won't do it my way, if you continue to do it the way of the world, I'll leave you to the world. And he won't even bother the Holy Ghost about convicting you no more. He'll let you go on because you've already made up your mind where you're going. And it's just a matter of when you get there. But the truth of the matter is, when you turn away from God, you don't have to wait to die to go to hell. You begin to live hell right here on earth. So we have got to make sure that we are not conformed to this world. And to be conformed to this world would mean that we would be confined to this world's activities, their thinking, etc., etc. So we are supposed to be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, what's important about understanding the study tonight is understanding that your mind is constantly updating its information systems so that it can make updated thoughts or adjustments or reevaluating situations, et cetera, et cetera. How many of you thought one thing about one thing based on the information you had, and then you got new information and you changed your mind? Well, your mind automatically does that. And so when it talks about the renewing of your mind, when you start putting in more information of the word versus that that's already been pre-programmed by the world, then you start changing how you think, and it starts rearranging your process of how you think about certain things because you are being renewed in your thought processes. And so as a result of that, you begin to rethink a whole lot of things, and you begin to see it the way the word says it and not just the way the world says it or see it. And then as you do that, again, you start bringing a whole lot of things into subjection and under the authority of the word. So we're talking about it's all in your mind, because here is where the devil really wants to work on you at, because if he gets it in your mind and keeps it there long enough, it's going to go to your heart. And when it's in your heart, then that's where you really begin to operate in that vein with a conviction, with a determination. And so if it's not right, that's why, again, you've got so many layers and layers of the, you know, bad programming that this world has placed in your thought processes, that the word has to go in, wash and rearrange, etc., to get you back on the right track. Because again, how many of us know better but still in some areas don't do better? It's because the word, and that's why we've got to stay in the word where our weak points are, because the word then begins to strengthen us, build us up, gives us the ability to change our direction and do things differently. So that's why it's important, again, to keep that word going and flowing, meditating upon it day and night, because it is constantly reprogramming your thinking. It's constantly going in and doing little bit by little bit, just again like an onion, just pulling one layer apart. And if you ever know anything, those of you who know anything about onions, is the outer layer starts off very, very, very thin. Thin, thin, thin. And as you get closer and closer to the core, it gets thicker. So there's a lot of thin stuff that you don't even know you're dealing with, that you so program that it goes on automatic pilot, that the spirit has to get through all of that before it gets to the core where it starts changing the very essence of how you think and process stuff, you know. So anyway, we're talking about now the condition of the mind and your disposition, because the condition of your mind determines your disposition, how you feel about, how you're convicted about, what you are passionate and focused on as a result of a disposition that comes because of the conditioning of your mind. If you're conditioned to be a positive thinker, no matter what comes up, you're going to look at the glass being half full. If you are conditioned and your disposition is a negative one, no matter how good it looks, you're going to be finding for some way to that, well, it's got to be something wrong with it somewhere. I don't see it right now, but it's going to show up sooner or later. I'm looking for it. And so your mind is programmed to find the bad in everything if that's the disposition of your mind. So it's the condition of what you are and where you are in the word and the word in you that's going to really determine how solid and strong your thinking is. How many times you thought you could handle a whole lot of stuff till you know something hit your life and just blew you apart, and you're like, Jesus, I thought I could handle that. You know, I just thought if this happened, I would be able to do this. And it's one thing to think that, it's another thing to actually process through that. And so this is one of the, so Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he, the A portion of that verse. Now, one of the things about this, again, that's so important is, as he thinketh, thinketh, the mind is constantly thinking, constantly reevaluating, constantly taking in new information and reprocessing even old thoughts. And so that's important to recognize, for as he thinketh, a continual process, in his heart, so is he. In other words, that becomes a collaboration with your mind and your heart. And that's what continues to go in, and that mind and that thought pattern working with your heart. Because once it gets in your heart, then you literally gravitate to it and are passionate about it. But even your mind is steadily feeding either the positive or the negative, the right or the wrong, the good or the bad, to your heart. So if it's there, it's going to ultimately end up here. So that's why it says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, that's a byproduct. What's in here is a byproduct, in your heart is a byproduct of what's in your head. And you can't separate the two for long. That's why you've got to recognize you need to be careful what you let get in your head. You've got to let your content be a selective one, so that, because remember, how many of you heard the saying, you are what you eat? Well, that works spiritually. You are what you eat spiritually. You need to be careful what you let get in your head, in your mouth, spiritually. And because if you don't, you get a bad taste. You ever, that just person just put a bad taste in my mouth. You know? I mean, that's because, again, you're really dealing with spiritual things. And just like you taste something that's not good in the natural, it's the same way in the spirit. You eat the word of God, the bread of life. In the spirit realm, you build up your spirit, man. You fortify yourself with the word of God. You get a healthy diet from God's word. But if you letting stuff from television, from the radio, from magazines, from the billboards, all the rest of these things, the devil introduces thoughts, but you produce them. Listen at me well. The devil introduces thoughts. That's all he has the power to do. But from that thought becomes a seed. Now, what are you going to do with the seed? You can either make sure that you do not cultivate that seed, grow that seed, nurture that seed, or do. And if you do, then you wind up producing the seed in you until it looks like that billboard, looks like what you've seen in your mind and all of this that the enemy has introduced to you. So that's how powerful the mind is. The mind can bring to pass thoughts, whether they're good thoughts or evil thoughts, right thoughts or wrong thoughts, good thoughts or bad thoughts, spiritual thoughts or, satanic thoughts. The mind has the ability to conjure up all that's necessary to make that thing come to pass. Now, what's important about that is you can go back and see that function so much in your life. You don't have to be super spiritual. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. I mean, from a child, it's ingrained in us. David said, I was born in sin, shapen in iniquity. What is iniquity but vainness, foolishness, and nothingness? You programmed with that in you. You're programmed with that. I mean, you don't need to tell a child. You just let, if you don't correct a child. And notice again, the Bible says train up a child. But the Bible also says correct a child. And if you spare the rod, what happens? You spoil the child, because you don't have to teach the child what is inherent in him, one, through birth, and two, by what his environment presents. So if you leave a child to his own demise, he'll pick up on stuff. Little child, 2-3 years old, cursing. Where do you think they got that from? From their environment. Little child, 2-3 years old, can't say the Lord's Prayer, but can drop it like it's hot. Go, baby, go. Little girls being programmed at that young age to act like, you know, they're not godly. You know, young women are come out of a godly home with all these kind of things. And then when they grow up and then they start dressing and acting like that, you won't act like it's so foreign. Where you come from with that? They learn what they live, what they're programmed. And so as a result of that, you begin to recognize that ties in. If you think it in your heart, so will you be. Thinking, heart, they go together. So that's why it's important to recognize that the enemy wants you to continue the process of thinking. That's why he keeps bombarding you with negative information. That's why he keeps bombarding you with negative thoughts. That's why he keeps bombarding you with negativity in more forms than one, because it keeps you thinking. And as you continue to think, that's just adding more and more to a conclusive evidence of this is bad or this is wrong or this is whatever it is, but it drops in your spirit and in your heart. That's why you got to be careful of your
communication. The Bible says evil communication corrupts good manners. I mean, you know, you might say, well, you know, I don't curse and do all like that, blah, blah, blah. But you stay around that long enough, and it programs your thinking. It programs you. You know, well, I don't do this, but I got friends who do that. Well, you stay around them long enough, fragments of that stuff wear off on you. You pick it up in the spirit realm on a whole different level. You begin to think. That's why you got to be careful. If you're going somewhere, you need to be amongst people who are going somewhere. If you have a high mentality or mindset for accomplishing the things of God, you need to get around people who will accomplish and who do and who are successful and who are reaching and who are constantly looking to better themselves, not around people who will tear down your dreams, tear down your visions, tear down your hopes, and tear down the things that you're trying to do. Because all you have to do is be around them long enough, and when things don't work out like, I told you that stuff don't work. I told you, you foolish enough to want to believe that. That worked for some people, but that ain't for you, really. Well, what isn't for you is being around folk who can't see where you're going. What doesn't work for you is being around folk who don't or have not accomplished and aren't considering or concerned about accomplishing things. And all through the Word, you'll see this as well. Even with Abraham, God said, now keep in mind, Abram was a heathen, but he had a heart for God. God said, before he did anything great for Abraham, or Abram at that time, you need to leave all your daddy's house and his influence and your kinfolk and your friends and all of these negative folk. Now remember, now he's 75 years old. He got a vision to go. Where you going? I don't know. Lord, Paul think he didn't wait till he got old to get crazy. You know, so he got all this little stuff, got everything packed up, and he left on way from there. God said, you start walking. I'm going to tell you once you start on your way. See, so what I'm trying to help you understand is some things God's not going to give you revelation on while you're in a place that will destroy the revelation you receive. Because they will talk you out of it, talk it down, make you feel foolish about it, make you feel foolish about doing it. And you'll miss out on the blessings of God. So sometimes God can't give you what he wants to give you where you are. Amen. He's got to move you out of that place. But look at this again. I want you to see something else. Romans 8 and 6 says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now look at the word here. First of all, carnally minded or carnal minded, what does that mean? Somebody? It means worldly. It means to have your mindset caught up in the operatives of the world's thinking, ways, standards, etc. Now, the problem is with that, is that we many times, because the world has its standards and the Word, God, has its standards, we many times will settle for the world's standards rather than God's, because God's Word requires so much more of us. Now, when we understand that, what we need to realize is we can't do God's business the way the world does business and expect God to be happy with that. Because the world's standards are beneath God's standards. So that's why you got to be careful. We are in the world, but not of the world. So that means we've got to take the Word into the world and effect change in the world and not let the world affect change in us. Because we've got to be careful not to bring worldly principles and practices in the church, but rather the church should bring the Word into the world and cause a change there. That's why the Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may what?
See
your good works. See them. They can't see them up in the church. We got color-coded windows. World can't look up in here and see us shouting and rejoicing and praising God and lifting up holding hands and glorifying God. We done colored our windows so they can't see us in here, Brother McFarland. We got our own little thing going on. This is club church. We just enjoy it up in here and the world can't even see us out there. We're having a party for Jesus and then locked out the world who we're supposed to be reaching. And when we leave out of here, we act just like the world is. They don't even know we done had a party. We done been celebrating Jesus and living and loving the Lord up here. Because when we get back out there, we go back to acting carnal minded. See, you got to recognize that's why 32 of the contacts that Jesus had in the world that we have in Scripture, only 10 of them were in the church. 22 of them were outside of the church. The major things that he did, 22 of them were outside. Only 10 of them were in the church. Now, what does that say to us? That the focus of the church isn't to stay in the church, but to take the church out into the world.
Yes, yes.
I mean, when he was born, I mean, he wasn't in the inn. Couldn't have, he was outside in the stable. When he was baptized, he wasn't baptized in the church. That was outside. When he fed the 5,000 plus, he didn't do that at a banquet hall. He did that outside. When a man was there laying by the pool of Bethesda 38 years, he didn't go and tell him, take up your bed and walk with me outside, inside. He did that outside. I mean, when the woman had the issue of blood and she was going to meet Jesus, she wasn't going to do it in church. She did that outside. I mean, when he went and called all his 12 disciples, listen at this. He didn't go call them sitting in some office building. He caught them outside. And even when he got ready to die, he did that on Calvary outside. And soon as man put his hands on him, he put him inside in a grave. He stayed there 3 days and said, I can't take it in here no more. He, on the third day, walked back outside and said, listen, when I come back again, I ain't coming in the church. I'm going to hang outside on the clouds so everybody can see me. And I'm going to call my church and those who've gone on before. So I'm just trying to help you understand the mentality of Christ and understand how he operates. And we get in here and get locked in here and start operating like the world. Cliquish. That's right. Private parties, members only. Look crazy at folk when they come up here looking for Jesus. We trying to find Jesus because we can't find him outside. All y'all in here. That's why we've got to take him on our jobs, take him in our homes, take him in our communities, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But we begin to think carnally minded or carnal minded. And so when we are carnally minded, we then act like, speak like, work like, walk like the world does it. And so that's death, the Bible says. Because what happens is it starts killing your spirit. When you become carnally minded, what you do then is start weakening your spirit man till you actually bring him to a place of death. That's why, again, God said he turned you over to a reprobate mind. When Adam was told not to eat of the fruit in the garden, in that tree in the middle of the garden, listen, Satan came back and said, listen, man, you know, I know God said if you eat of this fruit, you're going to die, but you won't surely die. Now look at what he was saying, because what Satan didn't tell Adam was that what's going to happen is when you become carnal minded, you're going to have the carnal knowledge, the worldly knowledge. Adam and Eve didn't know they were naked till they ate from that tree. It was not it was not an ungodly thing. It was not an unnatural thing. It was the way God created them and all of that. Now you let somebody walk around here with no clothes. That's how God originally intended for them to be free and all. The body was a beautiful thing. I mean, well, you couldn't tell that by looking at some of us now, but I'm just saying it was intended to be that way. All right, but when sin entered in and carnal knowledge came in, I mean, all of that began to die, decay, etc. So look at what happened. What Satan didn't tell him was once you bite of that fruit, you die spiritually. See, when he became carnally minded, he then, when he took that bite of that fruit, he died immediately spiritually, and then it then progressed into the natural until naturally he died. So when you're carnal minded, you begin to die spiritually. I mean, your inner man, I mean, as he's separated from God, is dying because his connection, his lifeline is all with God. And so when he is no longer fed and fueled and fulfilled underneath the skin, it begins to die. And once that dies, you become desensitized, you become hard and calloused. I mean, you can't appreciate the goodness of God. I mean, the Holy Ghost don't even bother about trying to convict you no more, because you're going to find a way to get out of whatever he's trying to tell you anyhow. You're going to be like everybody else doing it, this, that, and the other, one on, and you won't even hear him. So at that point, when he knows your mind is made up and you're actually spiritually dead and don't want to be revived, don't want to have what God has, he turns you over to a reprobate mind. and then it brings death. It says, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Once you start getting into this word and this word starts getting into you, it energizes you. I mean, it gives you what you need to make whatever it is God wants you to make, to accomplish, to achieve, to attain. It gives you the power. It gives you the strength. When you get disturbed and down and distraught, when you get enough word in you, Jeremiah had gotten filled with all of the issues of his time. God told him what he was going to do in the first chapter of Jeremiah. Here he was in the 20th chapter and an older man, and God had not brought it all to pass at that point. Jeremiah got so mad, he told God, I quit. I'm here in a dark, damp dungeon with all of this stuff that I'm dealing with, and you won't even hear my prayer. I'm giving it up now, because it seems like the enemy is winning. And Bible says, listen, after he had made his determination and